It is good to be back with you. On behalf of Mindy, my wife, and I, we're glad to see you again in spite of the circumstances that brought us here. I thought that the very reason we all know each other and love each other and gather together is the life and the death of a person. Right? That's what brings us together. That's why we wouldn't know each other if our Lord Jesus Christ hadn't lived and died for us and rose again to gather us together in this fold. And aren't you glad He lived? Aren't you glad He died? Aren't you glad He lives forever? Well, the death of one of our own has brought us together. And people from all over. What a tribute that was to your pastor's wife, wasn't it? That room was full of people. The hall who love your pastor and love his wife. And what a tribute that was to her. It's all good. This is my whole message. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Brother Bruce did not know what I was going to preach on. Or rather, where I was going to preach from. And he chose that song, "All Things Work Together for Good." All things work for good. Well, this is what I want to bring to you this morning. I want to bring you a message of hope, a message of goodness. Psalm 20 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." He said, "The Lord send thee help out of the sanctuary." And we come here. This is a sanctuary, isn't it? That's what we call this room. It's not a building. It's not a place. But it is where the Lord has promised to be. Where the Lord has promised to bless His people. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there," right in the midst of them. And wherever He is, there's comfort in it. There's peace. There's help. There's hope. There's joy, even in the midst of sorrow. And so, may the Lord send us help. May the Lord hear us in this time of trouble. May the Lord send us help from the sanctuary. May the Lord give you help this morning. We need it, don't we? In time of trouble. Look at verses Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. David, and in verse 5, he said, "In a time of trouble, you're going to hide me." David wrote this, we believe, and another of many times of trouble he went through. And he said in verse 13 and 14, "I had fainted. I would have quit. I don't think I could have made it unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So he tells us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Take courage. And He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, he says, on the Lord. Wait. You're going to see. And that's the title and the subject of this message this morning. Waiting for something good to come out of trouble. Waiting for something good to come out of trouble. And every one of God's people has gone through deep, deep troubles, have gone, are going through, or will go through deep, deep troubles. Such troubles that you ask yourself, "I don't know if I can get through this." And you ask, and we all, if we're honest, we'll say, "Can anything good come out of this? How can anything good come out of this?" Well, David says, "Wait." And you're going to say, "You just wait. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And the Lord says that joy is unspeakable, full of glory. Far outweighs the trouble. Far outweighs the grief. Far outweighs the sorrow. So much so that the former troubles will not be remembered or come to mind. I think I've told you this before, told you this story. You tell your stories, don't you? Stories that happen to you, you don't get tired of telling them. Brother Don Bale was up visiting me years ago, years and years ago, 30 years ago. And I told him about a place, it's this mountain that you could walk up this mountain, and the view, they said, is from, it's just glorious. Well, he came, we went to walk up that mountain, and at the time, neither one of us were exercising or doing anything like that before we got vain, you know. But so we started walking up that mountain. There's two ways you could go up that mountain. You could walk, or you could take the bus. Or weak people take the bus, you know, old people. I'd probably take the bus now. But anyway, we started walking up that mountain, the two of us. And we have such fellowship, don't we? Don't we have fellowship yet? And like those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, the Lord was with them. We were talking, discussing these things, and after a while, Donnie stopped and he said, "How much further is it?" I said, "It's okay." I said, "Look, there's a sign." So we walked up a little further, and there's a sign that said, "You have come 1/4 mile, you've got 1.25 miles to go." Donnie said, "Let's take the bus." I said, no, come on, we can do this together. We can do this together. We hadn't walked another 1/4 mile, and I stopped and said, "Let's take the bus." Donnie said, "No, we've come this far." We had to encourage each other the whole way up that mountain. He wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. We had encouraged each other the whole way. Okay. Scripture says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Exhort one another, so much more as you see the day approach." Come on, brother, it's not far now. It's not far now. Well, when we got to the top of that mountain, and we were tired going up through there, but we were encouraging each other the whole way. When we got to the top of that mountain, you could see for 360 degrees. Instantly, in a twinkling of an eye, we forgot all about that climb. Forgot all about the pain. It was worth it all. There's an old song we used to sing like that. "It will be worth it all. All the troubles, all the trials." And we'd all say we'd go through it again. Can anything good come out of this? Can anything? How do we know that all things work together for good? Because our God's good, isn't He? Our God does all things well. He doesn't do anything wrong. He's too kind to do evil, isn't He? Psalm 91 says, "There shall no evil befall you," doesn't it? No evil, meaning whatever happens in the life of a believer is not evil. Though it may seem evil at the time, it's not evil. The Lord said, "No evil shall befall you, but all things work together for good." Now, you can't say that to the world. You can't say that to everybody, can you? You see, man that is born of woman, Job said in Job 14, is a few days and full of trouble. Man comes into this world and his life is full of trouble. And that's everybody, all over the world, full of trouble. But the world, you see, is in trouble with God. Those who don't know the Lord, those who have no need for Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, have no interest in God's Son, no, it's not good for them. It's evil. Those who reject God, those who don't thank God and worship God, don't believe God, don't call on God, don't repent, don't believe on His Son, don't need His Son, don't need forgiveness of sin. No, it's not working good for their good. It's going to end bad or evil. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know the Lord this morning, now, God is good and merciful to all them that call on Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. And I hope and I pray you'll call on Him. But man's in trouble with God. But God's people are not in trouble with God. Let me go ahead and say it at the outset. Our Lord Jesus Christ came, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. He took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He, in John 11, it says he came to Lazarus' tomb there, and he says he groaned in his spirit. We all God's people groan, don't they? Travail and all that in this world and all this trouble we go through. And it says that he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And the margin says he troubled himself. The Lord put himself through trouble. Why? For his people. So much so that he became their substitute, their sin offering, their redeemer. God laid on him the iniquity of them all. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He took our sin in his body on the tree. And he himself endured all our troubles with God on Calvary's tree. And God poured out his wrath on our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, and put him through hell. The trouble that we would have had to endure for eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ endured that on Calvary's tree. And he ended that trouble with God, didn't he? He made peace with God by the blood of his cross. Now, God's people are not in trouble with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ took that sin problem, that sin trouble, in his body on the tree and paid for those sins. And now we're not in trouble with God. The world's in trouble with God. And people go through troubles, the world goes through troubles, and they try and they get so distraught and they end their lives thinking they're going to end their troubles when they just begun. But now God's people go through troubles. Have you ever thought of troubles as being the love of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God? All the troubles that all of God's people go through is the love of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Like the people, the children of Israel in Egypt. Go with me there to Exodus chapter 3. Go to Exodus chapter 3. The children in Egypt were doing just fine. They were living in the land of Goshen. Remember? Because Joseph was on the throne. And he put them in the best place in all of Egypt. The land of Goshen. That's where we get that old saying, that old country term. Don't we? When you see something wonderful and something just really beautiful, and all, they say, well, land of Goshen. God's people, he put them in the lands of Goshen, the best land. They didn't lack for anything, okay? But they got too comfortable there. They got to liking it too much, right? And they got just like Egypt, who didn't know God, who didn't think on God. And these things, God giveth us all things richly to enjoy, but these things become idols when we enjoy them more than Him, when we seek these things more than Him. Well, that's what happened, okay? So what did God do? He sent troubles to make them want out of there. Look at Exodus chapter 3. It says the Lord in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God sent hard taskmasters, hard trials, made them miserable. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. I know their sorrows. And look at this. This is wonderful. I know you preached on this, Bruce. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up and into the land of Goshen. But he had to send troubles and trials to do that, didn't he? He's bringing them out, and he had to send troubles and trials to make them want out, to make them realize we have here no continuing city. This is nothing but a place of trouble. God's people have sin trouble, have all these troubles. Troubles within, troubles without, troubles in the world. Oh, Lot, you remember the story of Lot, that righteous man. You, for a while there, you wouldn't have known he was a righteous and just man, would you? He was immersed in Sodom when he was living there. Well, the Lord sent trouble. The Lord made him miserable. Until finally the day the Lord's going to bring him out, he's sitting in the gate. What's he doing in the gate? He wants out. I believe he's calling on the Lord, don't you, Ruth? I really do. I think Lot was sitting in the gate while everybody's having a big old time inside. He's sitting in the gate and said, "Oh, Lord, come get me." He's calling on the Lord. Yes, he is. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come get me out of this place. What happened? The Lord sent his angel to bring him out, merciful to him. Even he lingered, though, didn't he? But the Lord, merciful to him, laid hold of him and did what? Brought him out. Brought him out. This psalm, go back to Psalm 27. This Psalm 27. Don't you find yourself going to the Psalms when you're in trouble, when you got all these troubles and sorrows and fears and doubts and worries and all that? Don't you find yourself reading the Psalms all the time? I no sooner get through the Psalms, I start over again. Because David was a man after God's own heart, a man whom God loved, a man who knew Christ, a man who loved the Lord. And God put him through all kinds of trouble, like he did his son. David had troubles in his heart, his mind, in his body, in his soul. David had troubles in himself. This is a trouble that the world doesn't have. God's people have trouble, their chief trouble is with sin. And they have this struggle within, a struggle with sin. And all these psalms that David wrote, "My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Isn't that your favorite psalm? Don't you cry that unto the Lord all the time? Why? You got sin trouble. The world doesn't have that sin trouble. The world likes sin. We want this sin out of us and this world out of us. Well, David had troubles within. He had troubles without. He had troubles with himself. He had troubles with others, didn't he? He had troubles at home. You talking about the blessed gift of a wife who knew the Lord and loved you. What a blessed deal. Those that obtained a wife like that have obtained favor from the Lord. And I have one. What mercy. What grace. I've often thought, and we have several people in our congregation who are married to unbelievers. And God warns us, don't do it. Don't do it. He says, you're going to have, if you marry, it doesn't matter if you're married to a believer or not, you're still going to have troubles in the flesh, aren't you? Male and female, they're different. Women are strange. Oh, Brother Bruce Daly down at Crossfield, he said, women ain't hardly like other people at all. But Paul said you're going to have trouble in the flesh when you've got two sinners living together and one's male and one's female. You're going to have trouble, aren't you? Well, compound that trouble if one of them doesn't know the Lord. You're pulling in two different directions. Can two walk together except to be agreed? How can you have fellowship? And one loves the Lord and one doesn't. And one whose Christ is their life and the other is not their life. Oh, I've often thought how horrible it'd be to be married to someone who didn't know the Lord, didn't care for my Lord, whom I care deeply for. Go and you come to worship the Lord and your heart's full of joy and gladness and you just worship the Lord and go home and that person just tear it all down. David was married to such a one, wasn't he? Micah, Saul's daughter, wasn't it? She mocked him. He mocked his religion. What did God do to her? He had troubles in marriage, didn't he? Oh, he had good wife, though. He had Abigail. He had trouble with his children. Oh, my. You know that many, if not most, of the leading people in Scripture, their children were unconverted. Isn't that right? Samuel had two sons. Neither one of them knew the Lord. Eli had two sons. Neither one. God killed them both. David had several. Absalom. Broke his heart. On and on it goes. Troubles within, troubles without, troubles in the world, troubles with his enemies, troubles with his friends. Sometimes that's the worst trouble of all. Mine own familiar friend, whom I trusted, ate bread with lifted up his... That's one of the most hurtful things you can ever go through. A brother or sister turn against you. David had troubles that other people caused him, and he had troubles that he caused other people. We're full of trouble. Troubles with temptations, troubles with lusts, troubles with doubts and fears. Did David fear? Oh, yeah. He said, was it 56? He said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord." So this is a psalm to help us in trouble. And I've got 5 points. I've got 10 minutes. 5 points. You said don't hurry, did you? All right. Here's the believer's confidence. Trust. Here's the believer's desire. Here's the believer's joy and song. Here's the believer's prayer. And here's the believer's hope and expectation. All here in this psalm. Look at it. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though a host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should come against me, in this will I be confident." What, David? "That the Lord is Lord, is my God. All things are of God, aren't they? All things." Eli and Samuel, young Samuel came to Eli with a message from the Lord, and it was not good news. Eli was waiting, wasn't it? Oh, how we've all waited on news, haven't we? Waited on news, not knowing if it's going to be good or bad. That's tough, isn't it? Wait. Waiting is hard. Well, Samuel came and said, "The Lord said he's going to take both of your sons." And what did Eli say? That's all you can say. It's what you said yesterday, Daniel. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. When the Lord put those disciples through that storm at sea, remember, he was on the shore and they were out in that ship. He sent them out before him and he raised the storm. He raised the worst storm they'd ever been through. They all to a man, and they'd been through storms before. These were hardened sailors. These were fishermen that had been through storm after storm after storm for years. They'd seen it all. But the Lord raised a storm that every one of them thought, "We're not going to get through this. Where's the Lord? Why did he leave us? Why is he not with us when we need him the most?" Was he? Sure he was. But he came walking on the water, didn't he? And in the story of Peter looking to him and walking above those things, you can't do that. He did. Looking to the Lord. But he got in the boat, got in the ship, and he said, "Where's your faith?" They all imagined when they saw him walking that they'd seen a spirit. "Oh, it's a ghost." And our Lord said, "Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you always think the worst? We always think the worst, don't we? We always say, this is it, it's over, it's bad, it's still..." No, wait. You'll see. And the Lord said this, "It is I. Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Why do you always thank the Lord? I did this. If you wait, you'll see. It's good. Just wait." And buddy, as soon as he got in the boat, and they were on dry land, the calm was amazing. People talk about this is a storm, the calm right before the storm. Well, I'm telling all believers in here, these are the storms right before the calm. And the calm was going to far outweigh the storm. Don't you know that peace after that storm, Brother Bruce? That peace was so, it was so tranquil, it was so wonderful, it was so peaceful. You just wait. This is what I'm trying to say. Just wait. You'll see. It's going to be so good. So these are the storms right before the calm. Believer's hope, believer's expectation. We're going to see. Why? Because our Lord is Lord over all. This is our confidence. In a time of the world, our world is in darkness and dimness and anguish of spirit. That's Isaiah 8. He says they look to the earth, look for help, look for answers, look, and they've got nothing but trouble in this world. Darkness and dimness and anguish of the spirit. But in Isaiah 9, it says the people, some of those people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them have the light shined. Who's that? Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We're not in darkness as others. We're not under a black cloud. Oh, no. Those black clouds, those troubles and trials, those are good. Why? It's full of mercy. What's that old song? It says, "Fear not, ye saints. Fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are filled with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head." No, we're never under a dark cloud. We feel that way. In our minds, in our hearts, it gets dark, doesn't it? We get in this black cloud. We get in a hole. But it's for our good. It causes us to cry and call on Him. And He's our light, you see, in darkness. He's our salvation. No matter who and what's against us, if God be for us. Huh? Now, people, I see that, and people use that verse. You see it on the back of 18-wheel truck trailers, you know, if God be for. That's not to everybody. But if God's against you, it doesn't matter who's for you or what's for you. But now, if God's for you, how do we know He's for us? Who's He for? He's for those for Him. He's for those who love Him. Those who love His Son. Those that need His Son. Those that worship Him. Those who love Him because He first loved them. God has to do that. God has to choose a people and make them willing and love Him and worship Him. Now, they wouldn't do it at all. Oh, election. Don't you love it? You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be worshiping the Lord. You wouldn't have any interest in God if God hadn't chosen you. Bless God. That's who He's for. And He sent His Son to die for. Oh, God be for. So He says, whatever it is, whoever it is that comes against me, this is what I'm confident. This is my confidence. This is my hope. This is who I trust. I trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now look at this, the believer's desire. Is this your desire? He said, one thing, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to hold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in the temple, in His temple. But in the time of trouble, He's going to hide me in His pavilion, the secret of His tabernacle. He'll hide me. He'll set me upon a rock, and my head will be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And I'll offer in His tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I'll sing, yeah, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. Do you not love God's house? Or are you glad that they said unto you, let's go unto the house of the Lord? Do you look forward to coming here? This is God's house. Oh, it's not a building. It's wood, hay, and stubble. But it is wherever God's people meet. Okay? Don't you love to be in God's house with God's people? Would you rather be anywhere else? Is there help anywhere else? Is there hope anywhere else? Huh? And sometimes we get such help and such hope and such blessing and such comfort in this house, we don't leave it. That's what Peter did. So let's just stay right here. Let's build 3 tabernacles. Oh, my. Dad used to say, people linger after the worship service. Food's been good. And you don't want to leave. You want to stay together. You don't want to go back out in that world, do you? It's a sanctuary. It's a little city of refuge, isn't it? Where God's people are. Is this your desire? And it was twofold. David said, he said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, where the Lord is. The Lord's, he said, I have, Paul said, we have an eternal house in the heavens, not made with hands. That's what where I want to dwell forever, don't you? With the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that where you want to be, brother? That's where I want to be. Is that where you want to be, sister? Is that where you want to be? Do you? That's of the Lord. One thing of our desire. Paul said, just one thing I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I want to win Christ and be found in Him. I want to be with Christ. Is that you, Sister Gail? Is that your desire? Is that your heart's desire? Really? Be with Christ someday, forever, never leave? That's of the Lord. In this house here, I remember a time when I couldn't wait to get out of here. Preacher's kids, you know. I thought it was cruel and unusual punishment. Now this is the reward. Isn't it? This is the reward. Believer's desire. He said it shall be fulfilled. He'll be filled up. The believer's song in time of trouble. Verse 5, he said, he'll hide me in the time of trouble in his pavilion. You know that word pavilion doesn't mean a big place. It means a little basket. Do you know that? It graduates here. A pavilion to a tabernacle to be up on a rock. It graduates. You know that? Pavilion means a little basket. A little ark. And I think of Moses. How'd his life start? In a basket. A baby in a basket. Pharaoh's killing everybody. How can anything good come out of this? And his blessed mother and father puts that baby, that child that they, all their hopes and dreams in, puts him in a little basket and casts him on the water in the hands of God and says, I don't see how anything good's going to come out of this. Just wait. You'll see. In that basket, in that ark, the hope of Israel. 40 years went by. Moses came. Will they be glad to see me? No. 80 years went by. Then he's walking through the wilderness with all those people. God gave him a tabernacle, a little tent to dwell in. Okay? He's wonderful. He's wonderful, that tabernacle. Oh, then in the end, a little while later, after 40 years of wandering, God took Moses up on a rock, Mount Pisgah. He said, Moses, it's over. It's over. See that? Everything I said, the people of God, they're going to enter in. But I don't get to go. No, you're coming much higher than that. You're coming with me. Set his feet on a rock in the end and took him all the way to glory. How can anything good come out of all this? And the believer's joy and song, he says in verse 6, I'll sing, yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. You know, we believers get in such sorrow and such trouble at times, like David said in Psalm 42. He said, my soul so downcast, cast down. He despaired of ever being happy again. Anybody? He thought, I'll never laugh again. I'll never sing again. But he did. He didn't. He said, oh, hope thou in God. He said, I'll yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I will. And let me just help you here. Singing does the heart good. Sing in times of trouble, sing unto the Lord. Just sing. Paul and Silas, I remind you, they had been beaten bad, bloody, hurting, thrown in a dark prison cell. Can anything good come out of this? What? Why is this happening? Who did that? Who put them in that prison cell? The Lord did. He was the Lord's prisoner. Okay? They were in that dark cell, beaten, hurting, in pain. And Paul looked over at Silas and said, "Brother Silas, the Lord did this. Let's sing." He said, "Let's just start singing. Because the Lord's good. He can't do anything wrong, anything evil. Something good's going to come out of this, Silas. Let's just start singing." I start singing, "Oh, how merciful, how merciful, bless it." Door swung open. Chains fell off. Jailer came running in with a light on. "You here?" "Well, yeah, we're here. We're just singing." Lord started a whole church because of that. Anything good come out of this? Sing. Sing, old Jehoshaphat. You remember that story of Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, how they were surrounded? A whole world came against them. And God sent a young preacher. And it says they're all standing before the Lord. All Jehoshaphat and their wives and their little ones, it said. You remember? What a touching picture that is. And they say, "We're at our wits' end. Our eyes are toward thee. We don't know where to turn. Help us, Lord." And the Lord sent a preacher. How'd he help him? He sent a preacher, a young preacher. As far as we know, that's the only message you ever preached, wasn't it, Ruth? Isn't it? I forget his name now. His name's not important. But what he said was, "The battle's not yours, it's the Lord. You're not going to fight this day. What you're going to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Does that sound familiar? Same message to anybody. Okay? And then Jehoshaphat believed him. And he said, "People," he said, "let's start singing." Didn't it? Let's sing. And they all start singing. You know what happened? The Lord slew all their enemies. Sing. Sing of the Lord. I'll yet praise him. I'll yet praise him for the health of his countenance. Now here's the believer's prayer. "Hear me, O Lord," verse 7, "when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me, answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, seek thy face, Lord, will I seek." Do you seek the Lord? Do you? We do. I hope you're here for that reason. You said, and the only reason we will seek him is he tells us to seek him. "Oh Lord, I want to see thy face. I want to see thy salvation. I want to see thy glory in the sanctuary. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger." He's feeling his guilt and his sin. "You've been my help. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. You're the God of my salvation." Oh, that's a believer's prayer, isn't it? Is that your prayer? You know, it says he's a very present help in time of trouble. It's a call away. He said, "I'll never leave you." And then let me close with this. Here's a believer's hope and confidence. He said, "When my father and my mother forsake me," verse 10, "then the Lord will take me up. Now so teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." What's God's way? Well, he said, "Thy way is in the sanctuary." That's where the gospel of Christ is. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. "Lead me in a plain path." All the words of our Lord and mercy and truth, the paths of the Lord and mercy and truth, and plain to him that understandeth. He's given us an understanding, Brother Bruce quoted that we might know him that is true, and we are in him. In him. Safe in him. Redeemed by him. In his heart, in his mind, in his purpose, in his covenant. I'm going to be with him forever. And he says in verse 12, "Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies." So, enemies without, enemies within. We have many, don't we? "And false witnesses risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Oh, then he concludes, "I would have fainted. Oh, I'd have quit long ago unless I'd have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And so he concludes by telling us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There are so many scriptures, so many stories I could give you from God's Word that people going through such trouble that you think, how could anything good come out of this? And there's so many. I'm just going to choose one, okay? This woman and her husband are married, and a man and wife are married, and they live in God, where God's people are, worshiping the Lord. Well, the man got a better opportunity in another town. So he left where God's people were. Shouldn't have. Went to where the heathen were. Went in a strange land. Took his wife with him. Well, everything went fine. They had all that this world could offer and all that. Had two sons. Two boys born to them, okay? All right, they got a family, got a home, got all this. But that woman belonged to the Lord. And so the Lord's going to put her through real trouble. She left where she shouldn't have left. And she did. Okay. Well, the Lord took her husband. Her husband died. Well, her two sons. She's got her two sons to comfort her, to fall back on for her comfort. Okay. They married two women. Okay. Lo and behold, both those sons died. So she lost her husband, and she lost both of her sons. All right? And she lost her inheritance. She lost her house. She lost all her support. She lost everything. Now she's down and out and destitute. And one of her daughters-in-law loved her dearly. And this mother-in-law said, I've got to go back to where my people are. I'm going back. Now you stay here. But one of her daughters-in-law loved her so dearly, said, I'm going with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm going with you. You know what I'm talking about? So they went. Now they're down and out. They're poor. They're destitute. They don't have anything. They're widows, poor widows. And they come back where God's people are. And they're poor as poor can be. And the scripture says they just happened. They just so happened to land in a place, in a field. And they start begging and gleaning. It's just so happened in God's providence to land them in a place where their Redeemer was. Their kinsman Redeemer. The only one that could buy back everything that they lost. To bring them back into happiness. That they love everything. You know the story, don't you? The woman's name is Naomi. And the daughter-in-law is Ruth. Okay? All right. Wait. Hang on now. Years later, they went through all that sorrow and all that trouble. Down and out. As low as you could get. As sorrowful as you could get. They lost everybody and everything, didn't they? Years later, Ruth sitting there. She's got a baby boy sitting on her lap. Her great-grandson. His name is David. Can anything good come out of this? You just wait. You just wait. You'll see. It's gooder than good can get. Because the Lord is good. I hope the Lord help you in this. Okay. The Lord bless you.